it the right way, the most appropriate way, the right timing. And but thank you for your answers, and it just helps us to work through that process. So thank you so much. Of course, for several weeks now, we've been talking about how to have a Jesus-filled life. Everybody say that. Have a Jesus-filled life. Say it to those around you, or just encourage yourself with that, because that's what we desire. As believers, we should desire to grow and become more like Jesus every day. So in this series that we've been going through, I wanted to give you some areas each week that we could put into practice in our life. And in doing that, it would help us grow and become more like Jesus. Listen to 1 John 2, verse 6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Amen. We want to live like Jesus did. And so that's why we're walking through these thoughts from what the Bible teaches, so that it will help us live that Jesus-filled life. A few weeks ago, we talked about be positive and be grateful. And last week was be encouraging. This week, I want to look at a topic that really gets to a matter of the heart, and that's the idea of this: be generous. Now, we can talk about being generous with your time or your talent or in serving the Lord, but today I want to talk about being generous in your giving. Now, everybody loves the idea of being generous, but truly living it out takes faith. I want to start by reading a portion of Scripture to you that sets the tone, and then we're going to ask some questions today, believing that God will stir our hearts so that we will be more like Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we delve into Your Word, help us to hear Your Word today and be stirred so that we become more generous in every aspect of our life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read to you verses 6 through 12. And this is Paul, where he's speaking to the church at Corinth. But we are the church, so we need to listen carefully. He starts in verse 6 with these words: remember this. In other words, there is something you should not forget. Paul says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Church, God really cares about our heart when we give. We do not want to be people who give out of guilt, because God tells us He loves a person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8 goes on to say, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I think that's a really important thought. A lot of times we're so uncertain and may even feel like I'm not going to have enough. But hear the scripture again, verse 8 again. In fact, read it with me and read it in faith. Verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Listen to verse 9. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. That quote actually comes from Psalm 112, verse 9. Listen to verse 1, though, of that same psalm, because this is how the psalmist starts. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. How joyful are those who delight in obeying the Lord. When you share what you have, he goes on in that verse talking about the sharing. When you share what you have and you're generous and you put God first because you're praising Him, you will be remembered. God takes care of us. Now, let me take you back to Paul speaking to us in 2 Corinthians, verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce. Now, listen carefully to this next phrase, what He is producing. He produces a great harvest of generosity in you. God is saying that He wants us to have this generous heart within us, generous with what we have and with what He provides. Verse 11, let me keep reading. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you will always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Verse 12, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. What is going to happen when generosity is in you, when it's really in your heart? People will thank the Lord. People will thank God. When you as the church are generous, and you will make a difference in the lives of other people, and you will help to meet needs, and they in turn will be joyful and cheerful and grateful to God. Now, I grew up in a home where mom and dad were very generous with what they had. And they were faithful to the Lord in their giving. They taught me to be faithful. But I have to be honest with you, that didn't always stay true in my life. In fact, in my very first year of full-time ministry, I was struggling. I was single, and I took a position, and I don't think it paid a whole lot. And that's why I began to realize how much it costs to live and to be on your own. And so there was this brief season in my life that I did not fully tithe. I gave a little here, I gave a little there, but God got hold of my heart. In fact, by the way, that's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I had to step out in faith again and begin to tithe and give, and I had to learn to do so with cheerfulness. Because I wanted to obey the Lord. I wanted to obey His word. I wanted to honor the Lord with my life. I wanted to be a generous giver. And I'm glad that I listened to the Holy Spirit and obeyed God and put that back into practice in my life and have ever since. Today, I want to ask a few questions. And let me start with this one. Why should we want to be a giver? Well, I think we should want to be a giver because we got saved. We were born again. And generosity should have been birthed in our hearts when we got saved. And I'll tell you why. On the day we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior, we received the most extravagant gift from God that anyone could ever give. That gift from God was grace. Ephesians 2:8 reminds us, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. God gave us the gift of salvation. Listen to Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, that was Adam back in the Garden of Eden, he caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Church, when we were saved or born again, all of our sins were forgiven. And then we were made righteous through Jesus Christ. We were given eternal life. And if that's not a generous gift, then I really don't know what a generous gift is. I want you to know that God put generosity in you when you got saved, because God is a giver and he wants you to be a giver. Let me remind you of John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The key statement in that scripture is the word gave. God gave because that's how he wanted to show his love. He gave his only Son so that people would not have to perish. He gave so that people could have eternal life. God gave because he loves you. And in turn, we now, as believers, give our lives back to him. And we love him and we love others. Why? 1 John 4:19 tells us, we love because he first loved us. Everything good that we learn to do comes from God, and that means we can learn generosity from God. Church, you are most like God when you give. Let me remind you of the principle we just read a few minutes ago. God will give seed to the sower. God gives seed to the one who releases seed. Listen to the second part of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 again. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. God is looking for people that he can funnel his love, his gospel, his grace, and his resources through. And if we could just step out in faith and learn to be generous like him, I just wonder what God could do. You see, I believe that God, who is generous, will bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. I know of some people who, of course, pay for others' meals. It's happened at restaurants. I've been blessed when at times my bill was just paid for. I've done it. Maybe I know others who do it, who pay for at a drive-thru for the car behind you. I know people who give larger tips than maybe what was necessary. In fact, I just dealt with this the other day. I went to pick up food at a restaurant. And I was outside, of course, and I was paying for the food that they brought to my cart. And there it was on the receipt, the food total cost, and then a line that said tip, and then the total, and then, of course, the signature line. At first, can I be honest with you, I had the thought, all you did was walk the food out to my car. And then I thought, bless. Don't be stingy. Be generous and just bless. And so I added the tip to that and blessed them. Church, we just got to learn to be generous. Tip generously and tithe faithfully. In fact, let me speak about the tithe for a moment today. Of course, that raises the question, who came up with the concept of tithing? Well, all I can tell you is it is a very simple answer. God did. But then the question is, why did God do that? Well, I believe there's a God principle behind tithing. The word tithe comes from a Hebrew word, which means one-tenth or 10%. The first reference we have to something like a tithe is in Genesis 14, verse 20. It says, "Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered." Church, this was before God even placed tithing into the law. Out of Abraham's heart, he gave 10%. He gave a tenth of what was recovered after he rescued his nephew and all the possessions that had been taken from them. And then we can jump over to Numbers chapter 18, where God tells Moses a tenth of all of Israel would come in to take care of the priest and the house of God. So it's God who set this into motion. Now, what is the God principle of tithing? I believe God did this for our good. I believe God did this so that selfishness and greed would not take root in our hearts. When you're generous, selfishness gives way to generosity. And I also believe that it's to help us learn to put God first in our lives, having faith that He is the one who will provide all that we need. He gives the seed. We plant, we harvest, but then we give back to God to honor Him, and also we can bless others with what He has given us. And so in reality, it's about putting God first in your life and being available to being used by Him. Church, when we put God first in our finances, it will really show that we're actually putting God first in our life. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21. "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Let me tell you what happens when we really put God first in our finances. Your heart will not only be blessed, but then your heart will begin to allow God to be first in every other area of your life as well. Let me bring up another question, of course, that people struggle with. A lot of people want to push back and say, well, tithing is an Old Testament principle, and we live in the New Testament times, so why should I have to tithe? Well, let me go back to the Old Testament for a moment. In fact, to Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, God talks to mankind about robbing God. In fact, here it is in Malachi 3, 8 to 10. "Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Isn't that great? Yeah, but that's in the Old Testament. Well, let me just back up two verses to verse 6, just prior to verse 8 that we read. Malachi 3, 6. "I, the Lord, do not change." Listen, there are things about God and His character that just do not change, and that's because God does not change. Nothing about Him changes. For instance, God cannot lie. And the reason He cannot lie is because He is truth. He doesn't just speak the truth. He is truth. So He can't lie. And so Jesus, who is God, comes along in the New Testament. And guess what? He talked about the tithe. Matthew 23:23. Here's what Jesus said. "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income of your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Jesus, I mean, you guys, you've got some growing to do in your life to be more like God. But Jesus goes on to say this. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. The bottom line is Jesus was interested in where their heart was. You should tithe, but you need to continue to do everything that God desires for you to do. We need to get our heart right. So a question is, what is your heart really committed to? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27. He says, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. By the way, can I ask you, where did that was that commandment recorded? It was recorded in the Old Testament. So does that make it ancient and outdated because it's in the Old Testament? Absolutely not. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, though, this in verse 28. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus is really teaching about the heart. And since God has not changed and his word will not fade, I'm the one who needs a change in my heart. I'm the one who needs to live a life that will honor God and his word and have a heart that really longs after him and the things that he has for us to do. Let me ask another question. What about a prosperity gospel? Well, let me answer this one clearly and quickly. I do not believe in a prosperity gospel. As my brother used to say, if it's not gospel everywhere, then it's not gospel. But I also do not believe in a poverty gospel. I believe in a provision gospel. God will provide for us. We plant the seed that he gives, and then God gives the harvest, and God provides for you and for me, and then he allows us to be a blessing to others. King David says it this way in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Or you remember, I shall not want, because you have what you need. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:25-26, Jesus says, that is why I tell you, not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? In fact, let me go back to one of our opening scriptures, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 again. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always, did you hear that? Always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God will take care of us. God will provide for us. We need to learn to be faithful to him. That's provision gospel. Church is about the heart. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just like we want to teach our kids, we don't want to teach them just to do the right thing, the right actions, but we want to teach them to have the right attitude when they do it. So the attitude of their heart is right. Listen, I don't want to just teach you that you are to give. I want you to learn to have a heart of generosity, to learn to be generous, learn to be a cheerful giver, because I believe giving will do more to adjust your heart toward God than any other action I know. And that is why tithing, I believe, is a good place to start. And yet I know a lot of people who are afraid to do that because there are some things that take a step of faith, and yet giving 10% might seem like a leap of faith. So let me answer the question. How do I worship God with the first 10% of what he has given me? Well, let me start with this statement. If you are not tithing, you are not a bad person. It does not mean that you love God less than anybody else or that God loves you any less. But Satan, of course, would want you to hear that you're a terrible person. But I want you to hear this. Just maybe you're still growing in your walk with the Lord. And you're wanting to live that Jesus-filled life, but you're still growing. And all of us are. And some of you may be thinking, Pastor, why are you talking about giving at a time like this? Well, it's at a time like this that things can be reset when we already have backed off of things, and it gives you a fresh start to say, you know what, I'm going to put God first. Some say, well, Pastor, I would love to tithe, but I just can't afford to. Please hear me, and I say this with humility, but I say it with passion. You will never be able to afford the tithe until you tithe. Listen again to Malachi verses 10 and 11 in chapter 3. Jesus, or God once again says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Church, God says, if we're faithful to bring the tithe into the storehouse, he will rebuke the devourer for us. Everything we have, I'm telling you, can be chewed up by the enemy if we're not fully surrendered to the Lord. Church, we live in a cursed world, and God is telling us that I'd like to bless you, but you need to step out in faith and put me first. I've heard testimony after testimony of people, even people right here, part of our own body of believers, who have learned to tithe, that God has shown himself faithful to them. So how do you start? Much like the Nike saying, just do it. And learn to be generous to God and to others. Learn to begin to steward the money you do have. Choose to live beneath what you bring in. Listen, we're all growing in the Lord. And I want you to know you can be a generous person. Why? Because you are a new creation in Christ. I want to remind you, the old things have passed away and all things have become new. So now is a time for us to renew our minds and strive to be a generous person and become like our Heavenly Father. Just start where you are and ask God to help you be generous. Heavenly Father, I thank you first for offering the most generous gift in the history of the world. We thank you for our salvation. And Lord, we long to reflect you and learn generosity from you. And so I pray, God, that through the teaching of your word, you would help us to be empowered to be who you created us to be. God, would you make us generous people? In fact, God, would you give us a generous church, a church full of people who know how to be a blessing to those around them. And so with faith, Lord, would you help us to be willing to give and believe. And God, we ask you to use us. Use us to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. Help us be generous, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I know there may be some today, maybe you're listening and you've not surrendered your life to God fully. Well, I want you to know he gave the most generous and probably the biggest gift that's been ever given, and he gave it to you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whosoever The scriptures say whosoever. That means anyone who would believe in him or put their trust in him, they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. Jesus gave his life in your place so you could live forever. And you can receive God's grace and his forgiveness and his righteousness today. It is a gift to you, but you have to receive that gift. And I'm asking you today, would you receive the generous gift of grace today? Would you pray with me? Say this: today by faith, I surrender my life. Jesus, please save me. I turn from my sins. Now make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to know you more. I want to be a generous person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to welcome you to the family of God. Listen, and to everyone today, I want to challenge us. Let's be generous and have a Jesus-filled life. God bless you.